This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014. And I appreciate you being with us today. Our friends include those of you listening on the radio in California, listeners on our streaming live on investtalk.com, and of course, the many thousands of our podcast subscribers. I do really appreciate that. I think we're up to about 65,000 a month now, which is pretty good. And all are welcome, not just to listen, but to get in touch with us. You can get your questions or comment to me in the traditional way at calling the 888-99-CHART or via Twitter at InvestTalk. That's with Twitter. That's our Twitter ID, two T's, at InvestTalk. Or you can get a note directly to me by clicking on Contact Steve. You could do also send it to Contact Justin. Excuse me. But Contact Steve will get you a response to your email. Our financial lives are complicated. They're as complicated as they've ever been. There are more choices to make than is reasonable for any one person. The possibilities of investments have exploded with ETFs, mutual funds, and, of course, stocks, IPOs, new IPOs. So now, and not only has it exploded in the numbers of them, but the variety, the different areas that you can invest in, it's getting more and more complex. So what are the smart choices? What should you do? One of those resources coming up that you can use to figure out what you're doing is our October 4th Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. We'll be in San Jose at the Hyatt House there, and we're going to roll our sleeves and work hard for 3 hours to help you build a foundation for good decision making. This is going to be our most comprehensive Saturday morning session, we think. Comprehensive. We'll cover more practical money matters that impact everybody. Wills, trust, life insurance, 529, Coverdales, savings plans, IRA, 401k. And of course, we're not going to go into detail in any one of these things, but we're going to discuss them all and how they impact you and what you can do, what you should do. Social Security, pension income, other incomes. We're going to show you how to use your free online software. There's a bunch of places online. We're going to show you where to go. And then show you how to use it, this free stuff, to help you. One, to analyze your risk. We've talked about that. How do you analyze the risk that you want to take? And then, but not only that, what websites you could use to pick and choose your own investments. How to filter through the thousands of choices that you're getting. How do you do that? Well, we're going to show you some free websites that are pretty powerful. We're going to go through them and give you some examples. Justin will show you how to construct a portfolio inside our online risk analysis tool using various asset classes. It's all free. We'll go over various portfolio types from conservative to aggressive. How do you know if you're aggressive? How do you know if you're conservative? I had someone send me their portfolio today, and they took the risk analysis and said that their risk tolerance was 31. And then she sent me her 401k. And it matched up almost perfectly to what she said she wants. She wanted to be conservative. So her 401k is perfectly matched up. So that just gives you the comfort to know that you are doing what you want to do and what you think you're doing. Because a lot of people don't understand how assets can move. Or, you know, what do they do when interest rates go up? What do they do when interest rates go down? What's the probability of them going up or down over the next 6 months? Based on various factors, based on what it gets pretty complex. We're going to try to simplify it a little bit for you. Of all the conferences we've done, Justin and I think this is the most comprehensive in scope, designed to help you shape your plan, your retirement goals, your investments, take control of your own financial future without having to hire somebody like me if you don't want to. You can do it yourself. You just have to have the tools. We're going to show you how you can use free tools to do it. Can't get much better than that. So join us October 4th at the Hyatt House in San Jose, less than 2 weeks from now. And we have a new pricing structure that can save you some money if you take advantage. If you sign up now before midnight, October 28th, the conference fee will be $35 instead of $40, a saving of $10 instead of $40. So, $45. After the 28th, it will go back to $45 per person. Per person at the door. Per person. Not, you can bring one guest free. No. Per person. What I'm trying to do is get people to sign up early so I can figure out. And it's only because I want to order enough food and drinks. Either we have not enough or we have way too much. And so please sign up early. Save the $10. Give me an opportunity to feed you properly. Okay? And this will help also, you know, for seating. We've run out of seating sometimes, and sometimes we have too much. I can't tell. Okay, just go to investtalk.com to sign up. And I hope to see you there. I really do. Now let's get to work on the phone. You can talk to us live 4 to 5 Pacific time or in between times. Just leave your question. Here's one of the first questions that came in today on our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Mike from Venice Beach. I just want to let you know I'm a big fan of the show. Business economics student down at University of Irvine. Almost finished up, and your show really kind of puts everything together in modern time frames. Anyways, I got a quick question about my father. He's in his 60s, got about, from what he says, another 5 years of work left. He has a couple 401ks from a couple different companies just sitting, and when I looked at them the other day, they're basically just sitting in cash and not being invested. He is self-employed now, so he doesn't do much with them. Just wanted to know what your advice is, what you recommend that we do for him in these two portfolios that are sitting there. Like I mentioned, he's got about 5 years left of work, and I just wanted to know what would suit him best. Anyways, look forward to hearing from it on the radio, and we'll talk soon. Bye.
Well, the first thing I would do is probably roll them into an IRA. Okay, they're sitting in cash, they're sitting someplace, and he's not doing anything. So roll them into an IRA. There's no tax issues or consequences. So now he has an IRA with combining the two old 401ks. Now he has one account. Then, if he's not going to hire someone like me to manage it for him, and he's going to do it himself, the best thing he could do, remember you told me he has 5 years. The best thing he can do is start dollar cost averaging into the S&P 500. And if he's too nervous about that, then wait for the market to correct and then start dollar cost averaging then. If he can't do that, then what he needs to do is maybe do something like our income program where you buy bonds and hold them to maturity for half the portfolio and the other half high dividend paying stocks. But maybe only do it with a portion of his money so he doesn't. See, he has to determine how much risk he wants to take. Right now it looks like he's taking none. But he's still risking his ability to keep up with inflation. I mean, inflation's going to, what if inflation moves up over the next few years? What if it's, you know, it's 4 or 5% 5 years? And his buying power of that money is going to go down because he's not making any money on the money. So he has to take some of it. He has to keep up with inflation with some of it. You know, he has to do something. If he just sits in a money market, you're going to make zero and you're going to lag inflation. And, you know, he's only 60. When he gets to 75, 80, all of a sudden his money is worthless. Or not worth less. Much less because of the buying power is eaten up by inflation. You as an economic student can fully explain that to him. You should do something. He doesn't have to risk all of it. He doesn't have to take huge risks. He can manage the risk that he's comfortable with. And give me a call if you don't understand how to do that. Or you, his son, give me a call. We'll talk about that. Okay? Call me at the office, 800-557-5461. I talk to economic students all the time. Pretty good question, Doug. Thank you. Okay, how the divestiture more than $50 billion from portfolios with fossil fuel-related assets will affect energy stocks. $50 billion is going to be sold in fossil fuel-related assets. More than one institution moves away from oil. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. Companies are not taking on the debt that everybody thinks they are. This year, they're going to have record issuance of bonds, both investment grade and junk. Record issuance. And that last year was a record, too. This year, too. Another record. But I'm telling you, when they're not taking as much debt as you think, taking on as much debt as you think they are. Justin didn't get to these yesterday, so he asked if I could. And five expenses you don't plan on. But you should. What are those expenses and how much are we talking about? And Hussman says, this is a bearish manager. He's bearish. He's always a bear, so knows that's where it's coming from. So just understand that. He says, U.S. is now a Ponzi economy. And we'll go over them, and I'll argue against what he says there is. How's that? I'll take the other side. Okay? But he's got valid points, but I'll take the other side. False dawn in China. Everybody has been saying how housing in China, construction, has been pulling down the GDP. When in actuality, that's not true. Not yet. Why is that? So we're going to talk about that too. These are all the things we're going to try to get to today. But first, of course, you come first. Not what's going on, not what I want to talk about, but what is it you want to talk about? The market was down again. This is the third day in a row. Dow was down 117 points. The NASDAQ was down 19, which is not as bad as it was yesterday, but still not good. And the S&P down 11. And what you're seeing is we're back to about a month ago. Prices over these last 3 days have fallen to about a month ago. So that's it's not significant at this point. I mean, we're talking 2 or 3%, so that's really nothing to even worry about at this point. Of course, I worry about it, but from a technical point of view, on the major charts, not to worry about. You know where the problem is? Is the Russell 2000, where it's small caps. The small cap stocks, did you know that they're trading below its 200-day moving average? Significantly below. Not just below. And it's been below the 200-day moving average a lot more this year than it's been above it. That's where the struggle is. And what makes me kind of, until it breaks a certain point, you know, it's not a bear market. But it's kind of a bear market in that part of the stock sectors. Okay, kind of in that small cap is where there's been kind of a bearish market. And I will tell you this. At the end of the year, we are now trading. Let's see, I'm going to go here. Yeah, it's way below. You've lost money for the year in the Russell 2000. A couple percentage points. Nothing major, but you've lost money for the whole year in that area. So it's something to keep an eye on. Have you weighed in on our Twitter poll? There's a new one to get into the conversation if you want. Here's this week's question. Young investors generally are encouraged to take on more risk than older investors. Do you believe your portfolio risk level is right for your age? We'd love to hear about it. What you think, send it via Twitter to @InvestTalk with 2 T's. You can get your question to us also the old-fashioned way and as by calling 888-99-CHART.
Now, more of Invest Talk, the 1 hour question and answer session weekdays here on the radio with money manager Steve Peasley.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Steve in El Sobrante. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm good. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing pretty good. I appreciate your call. You know, I say that all the time, but I really do mean it. Thanks for the call.
I believe that. So I have received another 16-page document saying that a stock I owned is in some class action suit. I'm not asking for specific advice about this particular one, but over the years I've gotten a number of them. I'm sure you have also.
Oh, yeah.
What should I do with this? It's 16 pages, and it's very legal.
Yeah.
And it's about a suit that's in the future, which I have a piece in.
Yeah. Is it called? Is there a title there, Proof of Loss, anywhere on there that you see?
Oh, boy, I'm in my car.
Proof of loss is something that they tell you after they are getting ready to settle or they might get ready to settle. They want to make sure they're trying to get everybody they can involved so they can give you your 30 cents or coupons or whatever they're going to give you. Most of the times, those things are worthless. Who makes the money is the attorneys. They get $10 million and you get...
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast and coming up on the next Invest Talk.
Some take on a lifestyle of ridiculous budgeting and spending without even realizing it. You probably know someone like that. You might even be related to them. Five types of money morons and how to avoid becoming one. That's our talking point for Wednesday, September 24th. We hope you listen to that podcast. If you're near Northern California, you can sign up for our Saturday morning wealth workshop at the San Jose Hyatt House coming up on October 4th. You can register right now on investtalk.com. Invest Talk continues on this Tuesday with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Some take on a lifestyle of ridiculous budgeting and spending without even realizing it. You might be related to one. Five types of money morons and how to avoid becoming one. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk, and please join us then. There's still plenty of time today to get in touch. 888-99-CHART. Once again, here's Steve.
Steve, are you still there?
I sure am.
Okay, we're talking about class action suits, and you're identified as a possible member of the class, okay?
Of a proposed settlement.
Okay, so this is what's called a proof of loss on a proposed settlement, meaning they want to prove that you are a member of that class. So you have to now go prove it by printing out your holdings for that particular stock and when you bought it and when you sold it. And when you've done all that with that 16-page thing, many of these, by the way, Steve, I just throw them away myself. I don't bother with them. Then you may get you may get some money. It could be. You get 30 cents or $30, or I've never seen anybody get anything significant. Most likely, though, you'll get a discount for the next service. If they sue the airline, they'll give you, you know, $25 off your next flight. It's like a coupon. And what? You know, and so do you know what company was being sued?
It was Knight Capital Group.
Okay, so they're going to send you probably a check of some kind if you are a member of the group, and for how long.
Okay.
You know, so you can fill it out. You know, you might want to do it just for fun to see what you'll get, and then you'll get a good sense of how these things work. Yeah. You know.
Okay.
And if you do, Steve, if you do fill it out and get money back, call me. I want to see. I want to know how much money you got back.
I'll do it.
Okay, Steve.
Appreciate I'll do it. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for the call. Okay, Rockefeller heirs divest themselves from fossil fuels. Just seems kind of humorous, does it not? Rockefeller, how do you think he made his money? Well, of course, it was the oil. All about oil. That's how they made their billions at Standard Oil Company. J.D. Rockefeller, he was the man behind Standard Oil. Okay? So, but, you know, this is a foundation. Okay, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, and it's a charity, and they're divesting themselves of all oil. Now, they're not alone. Fossil fuels, you know, global warming issue. There's about $50 billion, a bunch of groups. $50 billion are going to have and are divested themselves of fossil fuel-related investments. And, you know, that's fine. I don't have a problem with people doing that. You can do that. Just for the rest of us, though, thinking that this is going to drive down prices, probably won't. The impact is pretty minimal, if any at all. What will move prices is oil, the price of oil. And the price of oil has been falling, and you'll notice that the various oil companies have been falling with the price of oil. You know, the prospects of future growth in oil, well, that we have been using less and less in the United States, and we've been finding more and more. The big grower of uses of fossil fuel is India and China. And for obvious reasons, their economy, their huge populations, big countries, and you know, if they grow 10%, that's a big increase in demand for fossil fuels. But their growth rate has also shrunk in recent times. So their demand is less. So we have plenty of fossil fuels. So what I'm saying is, even though these people divest themselves or these organizations doesn't want fossil fuels, it will not impact the price, really. They're doing it more for symbolic reasons because it really is not going to, you know, for personal reasons, it's really not going to affect the price of oil. You drive the discussion with your questions, and so we want to fill in the blanks. You can reach us anytime you want with any question that pops in your mind about money. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
Hey, Steve, this is Oscar from San Francisco. Just wanted to see what you think about UPL, Ultra Petroleum. You know, what do you see them being in 5 years? And my other question is, do you think it's a bad idea to use my dividends that I get and in buying Coca-Cola all the time? That way I know where my dividends are and just, you know, continue purchasing Coca-Cola. Let me know what you think. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Your Coca-Cola is a big blue chip stock. It's going to be around forever. We know what they do. They sell soft drinks, and they've been getting more and more and more into other types of drinks. You know, energy drinks, water, you know, and so their growth rate is, you know, is fine. You could do that. You know, it's a long-term game and working on those dividends. Ultra Petroleum Corporation, engaged in exploration and production of oil and gas in Green River Basin, Wyoming, and Pennsylvania. It's a $3.6 billion company growing about, well, this year sales are going to grow about, on average, maybe 15% for the year, 13% last quarter, 45% the quarter before that, 4% the quarter before. It's kind of erratic growth system. Earnings have been increasing dramatically the last couple of quarters. Before that, they weren't. But this year, they're going to make $2.77. Next year, $3.16. Now, last year, they made $1.64 per share. So that's good. And the price is pretty reasonably priced. The chart looks weak. I'll say that. Chart look, we peaked at a little over $30 in April, May, and today is at $23.64. I would be a little bit patient and just see. I would bottom, it's on a downstroke again. I'd wait for an upstroke and then buy it when it starts to bottom out and start moving up. Looks solid, though. Fundamentally, it looks solid. Okay? If you live in Southern California, I will be in San Diego County on the 24th. That's tomorrow. Looking further ahead, I will be in San Jose on October 22nd. And if you'd like to schedule an hour for an individual retirement account checkup, I can do a small number of these. Just go to investtalk.com. That's investtalk.com with two T's and click on the appointment. Make an appointment. I'm looking forward to meeting with you.
Listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. This is your daily session with a money manager. Do you have a question? Our live listener line is open right now, 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. 888-992-4278. This is the number. Give me a call. Our companies are not taking on as much corporate debt as the top line number suggests, because the top line number says it's $1.1 trillion in refinancing so far this year. $1.1 trillion, which will be another record after the record last year. However, there's $747 billion in debt that is maturing. So really, it's only the net debt you're looking at. How much more debt are they taking on? And what, $350 billion this year? That's only half of last year's $827 billion. So they're really taking on less debt. And think about what they're doing. Some of this is refinancing old debt at higher prices. They're just like you and me. When you want to, if you have a mortgage, don't you want to reduce your monthly payment? Of course. So does corporations. They do the same thing. So I don't think, you know, if you're going to read articles about debt, don't get too hung up about it, okay? Because the debt is, they are taking on more debt. Debt is increasing, no doubt about that. But it's not increasing nearly as much as everybody's thinking, okay? So don't overstress. Our podcast listeners from all over the world download our program, you know, about 65,000 a month now. If you'd like to join them, you can subscribe for free at iTunes. If you have a question for me, you can always ask at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Justin. It's Henning from Ukraine. Hope you're well. Really enjoying the show via podcast. I've got a question regarding General Dynamics, ticker symbol GD. And I was wondering if you could provide an entry point for purchase and whether you could put it in a context of what the outlook for the U.S. defense industry might be, whether it's a good point to buy, what kind of dangers are lying ahead, and whether it's a sector a retail investors like me should really consider. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Okay, General Dynamics out of Falls Church, Virginia. Manufactures digital communications and information sharing systems, commercial aircraft, combat, marine systems. They are a $42 billion company doing about $7.5 billion a quarter. So, and their sales have been slowly ticking down, 1-3%, which is logical because they're cutting military spending. We have been cutting. Obama administration and the Republicans in the have agreed to cut military spending. Remember those sequestering cuts, automatically cuts? So is this a good company? Heck yeah, it's a very good company, good solid company. Is it a little expensive? Yeah, it's a little expensive with an 18 PE when it's not growing. It's kind of shrinking. The earnings are going to be up 7% this year and up another 7% next year. Of course, that's all about cost cutting. It pays 2% dividend, and it might be also they're buying back their shares. That's possible too. I don't know about that, but many companies are. So you have those kinds of things. Should you be buying it? I would wait for a pullback. The last 2 days, it's pulled back from 129 to 125.97. So what is that, 3% in a couple of days? So it looks like it's coming back down. As an entry point, I really like to buy it about 115. And then another one around, I would say about 105. Those are the two places I would want it to go down to and start to recover from and then buy it. And it's a long-term prospect. And should you be in military spending? Well, I can't see our military not continuing to spending. They will do so, but probably at a lesser pace. And that won't change until the politics change. Or unless there's a lot of conflict in the world and we're pulled into it. Then it changes the equation. But right now, I don't think we're going to get too involved in any conflicts, really. Maybe, the military spending will probably be subdued. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Invest Talk Personal, day-to-day money choices that have lasting impact on you. Today, I want to revisit a couple of the 10 traits that will make you rich. These are courtesy of Jeffrey Strand, who writes for TheStreet.com. Some time back, we talked about number 10, and that was patience. Patience is often the difference. And it's hard to be patient. Trust me. I know that full well. But sometimes you just have to sit back and say, okay, I made my decisions and maybe this is what I'm going to stay with. Okay? There's 10. There's organization. Most people are not organized. And this messes up your goals because you got 401k over here, you got an IRA over here, you got a Roth IRA over there, you got an old 401k from a previous employer, you have some inherited IRA, whatever you can have. Your wife has an IRA or 401k, you have a different one, a different company. So all these balls bouncing in the air and you're not sure what to do. Try to get organized. How much money, where are they, what are you invested in, and the overall picture, are you moving in the right direction? That's really want you. And are you taking, as I said before, are you taking the risk that you want to take? Okay, are you taking the risk? Is your portfolio reflecting that? Now, I'm talking about your overall portfolio of all these accounts. You can figure that out. And if you can't, I'll help you for free. You can take our risk analyzer of your own personal desires for risk, a few questions that ask what you're happy with as far as how much risk and how much reward, this much, and they direct to a different, like 3 or 4 questions, and we can figure out what your risk score is. Then if you send me the portfolio via email or as attachment, whatever, I'll put it in on the other side of that risk and analyzer, and it will score your portfolio. Now I can then respond to you and say, okay, you say you want to take 52%, risk score of 52, which is in the middle, obviously, because the risk is from 0 to 99, but your portfolio is 82. You're taking a lot more risk than you say you want. You see, and then I can give you some hints on how to reduce your risk in that situation. It's really neat. So get organized. Organize. Okay? You can also do that coming to our October 4th seminar that we're having, Wealth Conference. We call it a Wealth Workshop. It help you get organized. It help you understand risk and strategies. Help you find assets that you're looking for through free software on the internet. Pretty neat. You can sign up right now on our conference. It's up to you. Now, you can also sign up for a reduced rate until September 28th. Remember, the conference is October 4th. Up until the 28th, you can set for $35 instead of $45. So go do that. You can do that on InvestTalk.com. And that's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have a topic you'd like covered? Let me know. Click on this contact see and send me an email at InvestTalk.com.
You work hard for your money. Why isn't it working harder for you?
In looking at the chart, do you have to look at this the opposite of like a normal stock?
Ask your question. 888-99-CHART is the number. This is InvestTalk on radio and InvestTalk.com. Our listener line is open 24-7 for your questions. Hear the answer live on radio and online 4 to 5 or the playback anytime on InvestTalk.com.
Steve Dino from Aventura, Florida. What do you think about MKC, McCormick and Company, Inc.? This is a good one for right now. Thanks.
McCormick and Company, they make those spices, seasonings, herbs, okay, sauces for other food products for consumers and industrial markets. It's fallen like most of the stocks in the last 3 days, but it's also kind of in a downtrend ever since June. It's lower high, and looks like it's going to try to retest the lows. So it's kind of a weak stock. It's a $8 billion company. It's pretty big, but the PE is 21. That's higher than it deserves when the growth rate is 3 to 5%. Why should you get a 21 PE when the market, average PE is 15? What's so exciting about this company? Okay, it's going to make $3.56 a share next year, after $3.28 this year, after $3.15 last year. That's 4% this year, then 9% next year. And that's good. Nothing wrong with it. But there's nothing exciting about it, and it's not a cheap stock. Good things about it: management owns 14%. Good return on equity, 23%. Good, solid fundamentals. And the dividend is 2.2%. So it's one of those stocks you want to buy it cheap. If it gets into the mid-60s, like 64 to 65, maybe 66, you can buy it. But I'd wait to see where it stops going down, because it's been going down for about a month. Okay, and remember, it's at 66.51 right now. 66.51. 888-99-CHART, 888-924, whatever it is. 888-992-4278. 992-4278. False dawn in China. Okay, everybody kind of knows that the real estate market in China has been slowing down. Prices have been coming down, and they've been reporting on it that this, has reduced the outlook for China's GDP, and we've already seen some of those numbers in a lower industrial production and other kinds of numbers, and a lot of it related to housing. Well, this is that's the consensus narrative. That's what everybody says. Okay, remember, GDP for China, they have targeted 7.5%, and many people are thinking more like 6.5%. But what is wrong with that is it's different than what's really happening. For instance, gross capital formation added to the GDP of about 3.6%, and household consumption is about 2.9%. Gross capital formation meaning spending on infrastructures, spending on new buildings, new sewer system, new utility company and utility facilities, those kinds of things. And that is what's been adding 3.6% to the GDP. where household consumption, and they've been trying to move toward household consumption, is only 2.9%. So that they don't need more physical capital. They already had way more than they need. So are they going to continue to spend at that pace? Probably not. Number two, that was one, the first, you know, consensus narrative. Number two is that we have already seen a reduction in housing costs and spending there in China, so that's already impacting the GDP number, and that's false. They are still building houses. They are still, while they're building these new construction, all that, they're still doing it. It's up 11% this year from last. They're still growing that. And remember, all that activity is adding to the GDP. That hasn't stopped or slowed down. Well, maybe it slowed down from a frenetic pace to just a high pace. But it hasn't dragged the GDP day down. But it's going to. Remember, constructing housing is an ongoing process. You buy material as you go, and you keep building. You know, you buy furniture. Whatever it is that you do, you're continuing to add to GDP until that stops. And we've seen that here in the United States. So there really hasn't been a big drag or any drag from the housing slowdown yet. Prices have fallen. Prices have fallen. And one of the big issues here is that most local governments in China make their money by selling land to developers. So we really haven't seen the impact yet. Now, the real question is will we ever see the impact? Because China is going to hide it. They're going to cover it up. They're going to stimulate. They're going to do whatever they can, which they have done in the past, to try to hide it, to try to prevent it from slowing down their economy. They say they're not going to do any more stimulus, or they're going to do only targeted stimulus and limited stimulus, but they say that in the face of, you know, still 6.5%, 7% GDP growth. What if it goes to 3%? You don't think they're going to try stimulus? Of course. Of course they will. They're no different than we are. They'll want to keep their economy going as fast, as big as they can. Anyways, reach me now at 888-99-CHART. You can also send me a note that will come directly to me. Just click on the contact Steve on investtalk.com or send me a message to @investtalk on Twitter. 888-99-CHART.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
I had a question from Jim, and I decided I needed to read this over the air. Any idea which fund will face a downturn better? VEIPX, which is the Vanguard Income, Equity Income, or the Vanguard Dividend Growth? Okay. And that's with the symbols he gave me. That's what those two came up with. That's what those two are. Dividend growth or equity income. And be honest, I think they both will, if the market turns down, they're both going to go down. It's a matter of how much. The income might hold up better. But the other one's a dividend growth stock. So dividends also tend to hold up. Now, if one was just a pure growth, not dividend growth, I would say that the pure growth fund will go down faster than an equity income or a dividend growth fund. Because, you know, growth is totally dependent on growing, as opposed to I get some income coming in all the time. And when you have those kind of equities, it tends to support the stock. Okay? Still will go down, just not as much. We're coming up on the last segment of the program. Let's try to get your question in. Call us now at 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening.
This is Invest Talk. Have a question about investing or financing college for your kids? Talk to Steve about it. 888-99-CHART is how to reach him right now.
Okay, so let's go talk to Jessica in San Diego. How are you doing, Jessica?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, hi. I have a question about the 401k.
Uh-huh.
I am changing my job, and with my current employer, I have a 401k.
Okay.
And the new employer, they have also 401k that they can match.
Okay.
So what will I do with the...
Okay, so you have an old 401k with a previous employer, and you have a new employer with a 401k as well, right?
Correct.
Okay. Usually, you can roll that old 401k into the new 401k, so you only have one account. You can also take that old 401k and roll it into an IRA. So you have an IRA and a 401k. Why would you roll it into an IRA? Because you have a lot more choices to invest in. But if you're not, you know, astute and you don't want a lot of choices, you might prefer to roll it into the current 401k if the current 401k has a lot of investment choices for you. What you definitely want to do, Jessica, if you're not, you know, a big investing person, you kind of want to make your life simple. The one thing I would not do is leave it in the old 401k. I would not do that. So you either roll it into an IRA and invest it. You can roll it at a bank. You're going to do it at Vanguard. You can do it anywhere. Schwab, E-Trade. And then you can decide what to invest in from there. You also can roll it into the new 401k, and then you'll have your choices to invest from there. Those are two things I would, one of those two things I would do.
So when you say roll it over, like move that money to like my current employer if I will
use. Yes, they help 401k. You. Yes, exactly. What you do is you sell what's inside of that 401k. Maybe you have a mutual fund or two or five. Go to cash inside that old one, and just there's paperwork at your new employer, and they will help you roll it from the old one into the new one. Okay?
Okay. Jessica, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Right. Appreciate it. Yeah, you can do that. You actually can roll an IRA back that you moved from a 401k to a rollover IRA, and you can actually roll that back into a new 401k as long as you don't mix it with any other monies, any other funds. You can do that. I don't know why you would, but you can. Five expenses you don't plan for, but maybe you should. There was a survey of 1,500 households, and it looked at all their expenses for the year, and 46% of the people, almost half of them, had unexpected car trouble expenses. That's where the most expenses you have. What was the average cost of that car trouble? $367. Okay, so maybe you should put about $400 aside for car troubles. Then you have a 44% unexpected health care cost. Even if you have insurance coverage, doesn't cover everything, as you know. And if you have dental issues, especially as you get older, and you don't have dental insurance, got to come out of your pocket. Then the next one is house-related home improvement costs or repairs that you didn't expect. That's 32%. And from there, it drops dramatically down to education, insurance, and others. But the big unexpected expense you have is car, healthcare, and home improvements. And so what you need to do is you need to save about anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 for these kinds of expenses. Of course, it depends, you know, how big your house is, how old it is. And, you know, healthcare is just an unknown. You never know. So the article just is trying to tell people to prepare yourself. Understand where your costs are going to come from and be prepared. Okay? Now, Hussman, if you've never heard of Hussman, he says U.S. now is a Ponzi economy. He is a very bearish person. He's always pretty negative. Okay? Now, he does have some points. He says the U.S. Economy standard of living is in jeopardy and is chained to growth and productivity. And he says our growth is fueled by debt. and we don't have income grow, which we don't. We don't have income growing, and we haven't had it for years. And all our standard of living has been based on debt and raising of debt. And he has a point, but you know, I'm not a doom and gloomer. America's not going to disappear. Before we close for the hour, join us on October 4th in San Jose, less than 2 weeks from now, for our wealth workshop. It will help you map out your retirement readiness. Are you ready? Sign up on September 28th, or sign up by September 28th, and you can save yourself some money. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, we hope you'll join us for the next investment.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.